technical problem on the plane. Every inconvenience cost is deeply regretted. Thank you.
Tonight, Trade Ministry is standing its ground in the face of renewed agitation from residents of Central Regional Town of Comenda against government's planned leasing of Comenda Sugar Factory to Indian firm.
Nobody's paying them any money. Going forward, we're now saying that take it if you want to lease it, but rather you pay us back, pay the nation back. We are asking them to pay us in the millions. Almost certainly the contract I have is for them to pay us a rent of more than 1 million a year.
We have the latest as residents formally notify the police of planned protest next week. We hear from sugarcane farmers who have been addressing a news conference today. And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energy's Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. My name is Evans Mintz, and the Trade Ministry is tonight standing its ground in the face of renewed agitation from residents of the Central Regional Town of Comenda against government's planned leasing of the Comenda Sugar Factory to Indian firm. Now, Sector Minister Katie Hammond last week disclosed plans to lease the sugar factory for between 15 to 20 years to the Indian firm West Africa Agrotech Ghana Limited, WATCO. Now, the minority last week vowed to do anything to stop the government. Listen to the ranking member on the Trade Committee in Parliament, Yusuf Sulemana.
That agreement didn't come to Parliament because I can tell you WATCO is a foreign company. And so if government had gone to take a loan of $35 million, and also we had also gotten an approval for another $24 million, and if government was going to take any major decision that would involve foreigners, then it was appropriate for them to come to Parliament for us to look at it. Remember, the NDC was accused of not coming to Parliament in matters of this nature. So one would have thought that they would not repeat those mistakes that they claim we had made. They never came. Let's don't forget, the loan will have to be repaid. How is he going to repay the facility? All these issues, the minister of Ghanaians, that's explanation. And that is why we have called you here to serve as our mouthpiece. Take this information everywhere in this country and beyond. And let me caution that any foreign company that is going into any contractual agreement with the minister, if there's no due process, we can only assure them that the NDC administration will abrogate the contract. And when that happens, they shouldn't say that we are causing any financial loss to the state. Once you don't go through the procedure, once you have not followed the laws of this state and we are abrogating it, we have every right to do it. And no impression should be created that Ghana is not a destination for investment. If you come and you respect our laws, you're going to do business and do it very well.
Well, today there's been more agitation in Comenda to the news. The sugar cane farmers have been addressing a news conference, and we also know that some residents have already notified the police of their planned demonstration next week against government's plans to lease the facility. We'll hear from the trade minister shortly, but first, my colleague Richard Kujonyako, who recently filed an RTI request on the back of a special report into the Comenda sugar factory and its operations, joins me in the studio with more on this. And in the last few hours, we are learning about this news conference called by the sugarcane farmers. What's your concern?
So scores of the sugarcane farmers gathered at the precinct of the Comenda Sugar Factory today, and their concerns are that government had represented to them that they were going to plant sugarcane. And so they met them, telling them about the right quantity, the kind of species they want, and then they have now relied on government's decision for them to grow the sugarcane. So it comes to them as a surprise. Government U-turn, they say, that they are going to now import raw sugar from outside the country to feed the factory. And so now, when it happens like that, they will be out of jobs. That is really their concern.
And you've been digging into this a bit more. You found and got answers to how much government has spent on the Comenda sugar factory in an attempt to revive it.
Yes, so government says that it has already spent 46 million Ghana cedis, and it made up of they secured these funding from three banks, and in addition they also have taken delivery of about 6 million, and so in totality we are talking about 52 million Ghana cedis in their bid to revive the Comenda sugar factory. And so that is what was contained in the RTI request that I filed.
And today we got word that there may have been a press conference, but it turns out that the trade minister is meeting with some stakeholders to present his plan before them.
So that was what the indication that we got, that the ministry was going to organize a press conference. You know, what is in circulation has not been signed, and so we were hoping that today, during the press conference, the minister was going to actually issue a new one that would be signed, that would firm up the release clauses and the release statement.
Now, well, we know that the minister has been very clear on this. Last week, we got him to give us a bit more detail about this arrangement with this Indian firm in question. He is clear, he hasn't signed anything just yet, but the plan, he argues, will rather make Ghana $1 million plus every year because of the leasing arrangement they've come to with this particular firm in question. Listen to Katie Hammond.
We got some people to come in to see what is it that could be done to get the factory running. No one was interested. We sent experts, consultants, to see what you need to read the report. I've got a copy of the report that the experts presented. It simply isn't anything to write home about. Now, after putting so much money, we thought we'd gotten somewhere. So finally, I think he's talking about those guys who are working at the place now. Because it wasn't working, we gave a management contract to the company he mentioned to see if they could run it, if they could get investors, private investors, to invest their capital. It wasn't going anywhere. If you ask people to manage your asset, which is almost turning into a white elephant, you pay them. But he doesn't even know. For the last 2 years or so, we haven't paid them 1p. That's another problem there. We contracted to pay them some money to run it, make sure that it doesn't get to so much of a dilapidated state that we can't do anything with it. So we don't been able to pay them, but they are very sympathetic.
Okay.
They've been managing it for us.
So what we've
gotten to is that this management company has managed to arrange a company from India which appears to be interested in running the Comenda sugar factory. What they have decided to do with us is to ask for a leasehold of our facility, our equipment. It is Ghana government property, 100% in the hands of Ghana government. I haven't signed anything, for Christ's sake. Have you heard what I said the other day?
Okay.
I mean, you played it back. Now we're now in the process of dotting the I's and crossing the T's before we put our signature. And so they have asked that we grant them a leasehold of the facility for them to produce sugar.
Okay.
How do it in the end is they are...
If I understand you, you mean that as we speak, there is a company which has been given a management contract, which is running the facility. Are they the ones that are paid 50,000 a month?
I don't know the figures he's talking about. I don't know the figures.
How much do we pay this company?
We haven't paid them anything.
No, but how much do we?
They are managing. Mm-hmm. They are making sure that the plant doesn't go rusty.
Okay.
They are greasing the equipment for us. We're not paying them anything.
Company that is managing it now. How much did we agree to pay them?
I don't have
month?
The figure handy. The last time they were here and we're talking to the chief director, they were asking for some money. The chief director was talking about giving them some, he was talking about a few hundreds of thousands of cedis.
You are the minister.
Look. Listen, this shows the extent of the dilapidation of the plant that we have over there. It is so bad that we really, I have had so many companies who have come to originally express interest and then have gone to have a look. They've heard about it, Commander Sugar Factory. So they come here to, first they bring in their letter of interest and then they want to go to the spot to have a look at it. They come back and they tell me they are no longer interested. So if somebody is talking about, there was a contract which was signed, of course, long before I came here for the management, for them to manage it. I'm not sure the figures involved, anything as atrocious as he's talking about. But in any event, whatever the figure, whether it is $60,000 a month for them to run it or so, we haven't paid them one P. And they understand. Nobody's paying them any money. Going forward, we're now saying that take it if you want to lease it, but rather you pay us back, pay the nation back. We are asking them to pay us in the millions. Almost certainly the contract I have is for them to pay us a rent of more than 1 million a year.
And joining me right now on the line is Franklin Kudu, who is the president of Imani Africa. And Imani has done extensive work on the feasibility of the Comenda Sugar Factory when it was first mooted as an idea before it was even built. And he joins me with some thoughts on where we are now with it. Also joining me is Ibrahim Mutala Mohammed. He was the deputy trade minister at the time that the idea itself was conceived and implemented. He joins me also now. He's MP for Tamale Central. But I want to go now first to the central region and to Comenda to be very specific, where residents there have written to the police to notify them of their intended protest next week. Samuel Ewuja is a convener of the Concerned Citizens of Comenda Traditional Area, and he joins us on the line right now. And Samuel, you wrote to the police. Have you heard back from the police?
Yes. We actually met the municipal police commander this afternoon.
And what did he tell you?
They initially wanted us to suspend the demonstration, but we told them there's no way we are going to do that. So he claims he's referring it to the regional police command. So maybe they are going to schedule another meeting from now to Tuesday. So for us, we don't care. They can schedule as many meetings as they want. We are going on a peaceful demonstration.
So you also go ahead even if the police tell you not to?
Yes, we will, because we've done everything that the public order act requires us to do. That is to notify them at least 5 days before the demonstration. We have done that. We've copied the regional police command also. So as it stands now, unless we see a court order, we have the go ahead too.
And let me understand why you're protesting. Are you fundamentally opposed to the arrangement to lease the Comenda Sugar Factory to the Indian firm?
Yes, that is one. If you read the notice that we brought out, there are two reasons, actually. I listened to the minister now, and I'm shocked. And seriously, I'm shocked. And I am tempted to forgive the minister because he's not been at the ministry for long. So maybe he's not been properly briefed about Comenda Sugar Factory. You see, I can tell you on authority that the company that is there now, the company that they're going to lease to, they are going to be paid $50,000 every month.
Well, he denies that and says that he didn't quite give us what the figure is, but he says it's a management company. They are paying them some money. It's not up to 50,000, but he says we'd rather be making $1 million every year from the lease arrangement.
Yes. Ivan, I'm telling you on authority that the company is going to be paid $50,000 every month. And you see, it was only when we brought that he later came out on the 3rd of August that the company is rather going to be paying the government of Ghana $1 million every year, if you remember. But if you even go back to 2021, when they signed the agreement with the strategic investor, that strategic investor was also supposed to pay $3.3 million to the state every year. So it means that we have even moved from $3.3 million from the investor to government to now $1 million. Even look at, the minister was giving a report. You see the cost analysis and everything. The cost analysis indicate that if Commander Sugar Factory is to be fully operational, the net profit after everything has been paid is going to be between $8 and $10 million. So how do you hand over a company that is able to generate about $10 million every year to an investor who would then be paying you $1 million a year?
But fundamentally, for you, and I'll come to the specifics when I speak to Franklin and Ibrahim Mutala shortly, but for you residents, if this lease arrangement will lead to the Commander Sugar Factory revival, its revival, isn't that good news for you?
No, not at all. Because, Ivan, let me tell you, see, the company that they're going to sign the agreement with, they made it clear to Nananom in Commander Tradition area that they are not going to be dependent on the outgrowers. They are rather going to be refined, importing raw sugar into the country, and then refining it into white sugar. So as it stands now, they've already imported 1,000 tons of brown sugar from India and Brazil, and they are refining to white sugar as we speak. You see, if you look at the value chain of the sugar production, the outgrowers occupy about 95% of the whole process, because then you have to crush the sugar cane to molasses, and then you get to brown sugar before you get to your white sugar. So if you now want to depend on only brown sugar, it means that the work that the farmers here are supposed to be doing, you are outsourcing that work to Indian farmers.
Mm.
We think that the government is supposed to create jobs for us. If for anything at all, we are farmers, we always cultivate sugar cane. And you've promised that. A lot of people even took loans from banks to expand their farm. You know, they've cultivated a lot of sugar cane. So with the hope that Commander Sugar Factory will be in operation for them to get job to do. So if you want to take out all these people and then rather import brown sugar from India to Commander, and then you will find to wash sugar, then what employment are you creating?
Okay. Samuel, thank you very much. And that's there as a convener of the concerned citizens of Commander Traditional Area. They've written to the police. They've met the police commander today. Indication from the police is that asking them to hold on. They say they're going to go ahead nonetheless, unless they see a court order. I want to bring in Franklin Kujo. As I said, Imani Africa wrote extensively about this, did feasibility, and raised some concerns at the time that this was conceived as an idea and until the time that it was actually built. Franklin, so we're back full circle. The government's plan is to lease this out to the Indian firm, and they would bring in the raw sugar and then they will process it here. Is that a good way out of this particular challenge we find ourselves in? A real pickle we have right now. We spent 52.5 million cedis since this government took over in an attempt to revive it, and we're still where we are. At least our RTR request told us that much. Is this a good way out?
You know, good evening, Evans. I actually don't understand the plan here. I mean, the government in its twilight days essentially is trying to lease, a plant. Let's call it a plant, which, by the way, we don't know the state's productive state or capacity right now. We all don't know. We need to have been told exactly what the current state of this plant is, how much money initially was sunk. I think the NDC must have sunk about $36 million into this plant, right? At the time, all that was needed, really, if the NDC had been minded, at least understood what we were saying at the time. Several research studies we found suggested that the project needed not less than $90 million after 1970s, right, to bring it to some semblance of, should I call it, functional, in functional mode. So immediately the 36 million was sunk in, we knew that there will be problems after commissioning down the line. It didn't even take a month. So now if you're a government that obviously prided itself as a doyen of private industrialization and all of that, 1D1F, at least this particular project should have been given some very serious thought. And I did think at the time that Alan was giving it some serious thought. I don't know what happened along the way. The same talks to Indians and all of that. Then they fell apart. I think for me, look, this lease thing, first of all, we need to ask questions. Are the Indians ready? Do they have the full money to bring this factory to full capacity? Because, as I said, if they don't have close to about $50 million to start off with, then there's no business. They shouldn't even start with at all. Because this whole thing about doing it in bit and pieces really wouldn't make sense.
The minister says
I don't know
start
the basis of which the $1 million per year is expected for the country. I also don't know the basis of paying $50,000. I think Katie says he's not signed. We don't have all the specifics to have this conversation. It looks to me they probably want to sell this deal as scrap, and maybe they're using other means to get it done.
But one thing he's confirmed, Franklin, is that this Indian firm will not, at least at this moment, be processing sugarcane itself, as we know has been grown, but it will be importing the raw sugar and then processing it thereafter. Is that a good plan?
Well, that could be another contingency plan. The challenge, though, is that, as I said, we all don't know the capacity, the productive, the functional capacity of this plant right now. We don't know how much sugar they are going to, raw sugar they are going to import to get that $1 million. So everything is still in the flux. We need to get the full all of this particular enterprise. And I'm sorry, Katie, if you listen to him, I never got anything out of what that interview. I never understood what was being said. And as I said, a government that is in it to ally this really shouldn't be entertaining this type of talks at all.
If it's not leasing, then we already have this plant sitting there. What do you do to revive it?
You know, as I said, if the government had been minded to spend probably just another, maybe 40 million dollars, which they could have done anyway, I'm sure this would have come to life. So I think let's understand the full mathematics plan of this particular suggestion of a lease arrangement. Otherwise, frankly, we need about $45 million at least to bring this factory to scrap.
Let me bring in Murtala Mohammed, who was the deputy minister at the time. And Murtala, $35 million, if I recall correctly, is what you spent to build this. And at the time, Imani and Co. warned that you do not have the value chain that will feed that particular factory to produce sugar sustainably. As it turns out, exactly what has happened years on. First, the minister says you should take responsibility for where we are, because if you had listened to good advice at the time, you would have created the entire value chain before the factory was created. Do you accept that responsibility?
Well, first and foremost, we disagreed with the proposition of Imani, and I had a series of engagement with my brother Franklin Kujo on the viability of the contract. The contract was in two folds: $35 million for the building of the factory and $24 million for the production of the raw material, that is the sugarcane, to feed the factory. And we got this loan facility from the Indian Exim Bank. The factory was supposed to have completed in December, and by June, the contractor had finished his work. And because we were monitoring the work that was being done by the contractor, we knew that they were going to finish ahead of the scheduled date of completion. So we started the processes to access the $24 million loan for the purposes of the raw materials. I've heard some who have argued that you don't have raw materials and you are building a factory. And my response is that, were they expecting us to start producing sugarcane, putting it down until we finish building the factory? When we knew that the factory was going to finish before December, we started the process to access the $24 million loan. And Evans, I moved the motion on the floor of Parliament in November 2016 for Parliament to approve the $24 million loan for the purposes of the plantain, sugarcane plantation. It was approved. You remember, we went for the elections, and my expectation was that when you have a new government, they would have followed through to access the money. Mind you, we also started the Nestle plantation. We got thousands of acres where we started. A lot of outgoers indeed started, like the gentleman said, went in for loan to produce the sugarcane. This government came and refused to access the $24 million loan, and that has been the state. Mind you, PricewaterhouseCoopers did an auditing and valued the factory to be around $34, $36 million, PricewaterhouseCoopers. So the question we should be asking everybody, why did the MPP government under President Nanado refuse to access a loan which had been approved by Parliament? And I think that they are yet to answer this. But I listened to the minister, and I'm not surprised that Franklin says he didn't even understand what he said. You went into a management contract, and you do not know how much is being paid to those managing it. Those Indians do not live in Comenda. They have their offices in Accra, and they are paid $50,000 every month. If the minister is saying what we are saying is not true, then he should be able to tell Ghanaians how much they pay to those management, the WATCO people.
What he says instead, that we rather will make, once we lease it, $1 million from the Indians.
No, I'm saying that the management contract, let's not jump the gun. The management contract, which was entered into between government of Ghana, represented by the Minister of Trade and Industries, and WATCO, came with some financial commitment. The minister should be able to tell us how much the state was spending to pay those Indians who reside in Accra. They have their offices in Accra. And I can tell you that they were being paid $50,000 every month. Now, what is the financial value? $50,000 to do what? They produce nothing. Nothing. Couldn't government have allowed even the Ghanaian managers who were not paid that money to continue still managing it until such a time we start to engage with the production? So that is another question.
And Mutala, so what would the NDC do differently if you win in December?
Well, what we need to do would find out why government refused to access the $24 million loan, which was approved by Parliament. We would find out. We will also find out why the Nestle plantation we had and the sugarcane plantation, which had begun, what happened to it? Was it a case that they sold it to Akotesi, the Slavish? And who did that? Where was the money lodged into? Look, we never said that the Comenda Sugar Factory was going to take care of the sugar needs of this country. Franklin will tell you, we're spending over $200 million every year importing sugar. Remember, President Mahama had given financial assistance to selected pharmaceutical companies. And even these companies spend a lot of money importing sugar for the purposes of producing their pharmaceutical products. So what we envisioned was that even if they were not producing the sugar for domestic use, they were producing the sugar to supply these pharmaceutical companies so that the money government extended to these companies, they won't spend the money importing sugar. That factory alone could have taken care of their sugar needs. So you give $5 million to pharmaceutical companies, they don't spend chunk of that $5 million to import sugar. They buy the sugar from this country. Isn't it interesting? The very company which was given the management contract is the company they are leasing the same facility to. If it was not financially and economically viable, you think that those Indians would have been looking forward into the lease? And in any case, they are not going to produce sugar. They are going to process the brown sugar. Now, so others have argued that we didn't produce sugar. Your multimedia, and I'm happy I'm having this engagement, multimedia had a representation, Captain Smart. He went to Comenda Sugar Factory, wanting access to it. I was called 1 a.m., and I told them to allow him to gain in. They followed through all the processes, from the sugar cane processing up to the production of the brown sugar. Now, what this government is doing, and the gentleman captured it perfectly, they are creating jobs for sugarcane farmers in India at the expense of our sugarcane producers in Ghana, those of whom have gone to take loans, and the government has spent a lot of money. We are going to be paying those monies.
there are several questions that ought to be answered.
Yeah, and by the way, let me quickly get Franklin. Franklin, you've heard Murtala when he asked him the question about what would they do differently. Have you heard a credible alternative?
Well, you know, I think listening to both sides, I'm asking myself, isn't it about how we evaluated the proper role of government in business anyway? I mean, has government any more interventionist role in sugar, airlines, apart from regulating sensibly? I mean, I don't think government should be in the business of this type of industry, really. If there's anything that they should divest it, half 70-80% held by private enterprise, and that would tell you that this whole thing would have been viable from day one. So I'm sorry, I don't think that. Maybe the government, NDC government, may do something, but I seriously doubt the viability of that enterprise, especially as government is the kingpin in this particular matter. I'd rather the private sector led.
Frankly, thank you very much. Ibrahim Murtala Mohammed, former Deputy Trade Minister, MP for Tamale Central. I'm grateful too. If you live in that area, the Komenda area in the central region, and affected by this, I want to hear from you on Newsnight, which starts right now.